Hi, I'm Femi Oke. When a Nigerian street vendor can be beaten to death in broad daylight while people watch, what does that tell us about Italian society? Elika Ogunjukwu was murdered on July the 29th. The man accused of killing him, Filippo Claudio Giuseppe Velasso, has been arrested and charged with murder and theft. His lawyer and the police investigator say the case has nothing to do with racism.
He spoke to the magistrates, gave his version of the facts, and said he was sorry. He apologized to the family, apologized for what happened, made it clear that there was absolutely no racial element. Unfortunately, the terrible act would have been committed anyway, regardless of color.
It is a murder determined by futile motives. What emerges from the investigation is that the victim was particularly persistent in begging money from the attacker and his partner.
Protesters have been rallying, calling for justice for Elika and for Italy to confront its history of racism and xenophobia. Earlier today, we spoke to the lawyer representing Elika's family.
The family, the Nigerian community and the local Italian community reacted with great pain and wanting to condemn the violent act committed against a black guy. The family wants justice and does not want revenge, as well as all those people who paraded through the streets of Civitanova Marche the last Saturday to condemn the murderous act.
Is the killing of Elika Ogunjukwu Italy's George Floyd moment? What will it take to confront racism in Italy? You can join our conversation right now on YouTube. Having this tough conversation with us on the stream, Angelica, Kwanza, Angelo, welcome to the stream. Good to have all three of you here. Angelica, please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Sure. Good evening. I'm Angelica Pesarini and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Toronto. I work on issues of race, gender identity in colonial and post-colonial Italy.
Thanks for joining us. Hello, Kwanza. Welcome to the stream. Please say hello to our viewers around the world. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Hello. Good day, everyone. My name is Kwanza Musi dos Santos. I'm from Rome. I work as diversity management expert, and I'm also member of the National Anti-Racist Network in Italy.
Good to have you. And Angelo, welcome. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Good evening. Hello. My name is Angelo Boccato. I'm a freelance journalist based in London, and I write about issues concerning race, diversity, and politics and social issues.
Andrew, it's been some days now, it's almost 2 weeks now since Elika was murdered. Is this story for Italians still resonating? Are Italians still speaking about it? Because that means that something different may well be happening here.
I have a feeling that people in Italy might still be speaking about this, but I'm not entirely sure if the conversation is heading in the right direction. We've seen before what you've heard, that many are seeing this as related, this brutal murder, something that is not connected to racism and is not racially motivated. And also, I think that part of the issue might be that people might start thinking about this because it happened so close to the election, while the history of murders of black men in Italy is a long one.
I'm just looking at YouTube right now, Kwanza. Liam is watching, and he says, asking for money on the street is not justification for violence and murder. The Italian state and police must recognise the murder as racist and symptomatic of structural violence. But so far, they haven't. They were very quick to say, this is not racism. Kwanza, you start, and then Angelica, you pick up.
Yeah, I mean, it's already problematic that the police, first thing first, excluded the motive of racism even before looking at all the evidences and starting actually to prepare the trial. So this is already eloquent to say that there is definitely a racist phobia, we can say.
Absolutely no racial element, Kwanza, is what the lawyer to the accused said.
They say.
Yeah, yeah. No racial element.
So from then we can already say that there is definitely a phobia in admitting the problem of racism here.
Yeah. Angelica, have you seen that? That idea of, like, it's not racism, it's individual crimes.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is one of the, watching the police talking, the police conducting the investigation, talking about it, I was shocked to see them say we can categorically exclude racism, because this could have happened to anyone. And this really reflects the approach we have in Italy, but in Europe, about race. First of all, we cannot say the word race. People are always horrified because they think about the biological part while we talk about the sociocultural parts of race. But also the fact that it's always a one-off. People in Italy are not racist. They may be ignorant. Racism doesn't exist. It's in the UK, in the US. Mm. So there is the denial of structural racism as a systemic factor that defines our society. And this is one of the main obstacles we have as scholars, as academics, as activists. People don't want to face it. And so how can we be anti-racist if we don't name
have racism.
This huge...
No, racism.
Exactly.
We don't even need to be anti-racist. Ando, what did you want to add? Go ahead.
No, I was thinking of what, following up on this, like... You could literally label it as the R word in Italy. The racism can be mentioned. Racism doesn't exist. Also in the media, because we have, must not forget the great responsibility of mainstream media. And for instance, the fact that after the murder of Alika Gulcu, many media gave a lot of resonance to what the murderer in question said. The fact that he said that... Alika was bothering his partner, then he said he was asking for money, and he was given so much space to the murderer, to the version of the murderer, and not enough space to the family, of Alika. I think this tells how much dignity for people of color is not something that's really that's a focus on in Italy at all, and that tells everything, speaks volumes, because from there we can see how this whole narrative is shaped before, during, and after the elections.
I'm just Angelica. Yeah,
and
Angelica,
I've been there.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I've been there to the street, and it's literally Broadway. It's like Times Square, so it's really something happening in a big street. It's the main shopping street of the city. People were just staring at it or even just passing by. So again, racism is not about the individual that went there and said, N-word, whatever. It's about the whole system that contributed to the death of this man. And this is what's shocking.
Let's
talking about the media, I think what Angelo was saying, you know, it's important. The media, the language. We didn't have a name. He was defined as the Nigerian, the street vendor, the migrant. So every time people are denied their humanity and individuality in favor of their ethnicity or what they do. So just because it may be a different name, a name difficult to pronounce, well, we don't even give the dignity and the respect to name improperly. So I was finding the media language also very violent, not only the narrative they were portraying, but also this lack of humanity towards this person who has been killed in broad daylight, as Kwanzaa was saying, and nobody intervened, and still is the Nigerian.
Let me add another voice to our conversation. This is Cliella Bartoli. This is what she told us a little bit earlier to help us understand racism in Italy.
I, like most of the Italian population, express sorrow and blame for the murder of Alika Ogurciuku. These feelings are very common among citizens, press, and even among those politicians who speculate on racism to gain consensus. I believe that as long as this murder is considered an individual and exceptional act of racism, and not as the sign of a system steeped in discrimination, the course of the new election will not change, and somehow we will be complicit.
I think it's really important to say that Aliko's death and murder was not an individual instance. There have been many instances of people of colour being killed, harassed, assaulted in Italy. It goes on and on and on and on. So let's take a broader look. I want to go back to something that really stopped me in my tracks when I saw it, which was 2020 in Rome, which was a Black Lives Matter rally. Have a look at this. It's extraordinary. It's also a moment of silence, so you're not going to hear much, but you're absolutely going to see it. I don't really need to show it to you guests, but for our audience, just to remember that there was a moment where Italy, and some people in Italy, realised that they had their own issues with racism. When you look at that, Angelica, again, these images, what does it tell you about Italy's growth, the ability to be able to discuss and talk about racism openly?
Well, you know, Fami, it's interesting because I was there. I was in Milan during these demos. And what I had very mixed feelings because on the one hand, people of color, black people, have been doing active fights against racism for decades. So it was not the death of George Floyd that told us there was racism. But for white Italians, those who portray themselves as anti-racist, well, it was frustrating to see what I call this performative anti-racism. So many people went in the streets. We just finished a lockdown. We were in the middle of a pandemic. All of Italy was in the streets protesting for the death of George Floyd. But we, as you mentioned, we had so many black men and women killed by racism. Look now, Alika, how many people did go in the streets and protest besides us? There were many people who went there. Kwanzaa was among them and the Coordinamento Nazionale Antirazzista. But where were the others? And so this is frustrating, I think, in Italy. The white anti-racist movement is problematic because they don't recognize white privilege, for example. When you mention these words, they say this doesn't apply to us because this is in the US. We cannot talk about race. We don't talk about privilege. How are we privileged as Italians who have been struggling for centuries? We were immigrants too. And you see, this is the difficulty in letting people understand that whiteness has been historically protected and maintained, even if you're poor, even if you are discriminated for other reasons. Alika was not just a black man. He was also a poor man. So the class component here is essential. And it's something people don't want to face. The police, you were saying, they were saying it could have happened to anyone. But how many white Italians are in the streets asking for a coin? I don't see many.
So being Italian means being white, Kwanzaa, would you say? Is that the issue, that you're not viewed as being Italian if you're not white?
Absolutely. We see that how white Italians confuse class with race. And so what Angelica was saying is perfectly right. There's a lot of white Italians in the anti-racist, historical anti-racist organizations that say, no, I'm not privileged because I'm white, because I grew up in the projects. But that is something that appeals to class in general. So they substitute class with race very often, and they don't understand instead that race and class are two different elements that can coexist. Of course, can be intertwined, but they can also act separately. And so it's very difficult for Italians to understand. And we've seen that also with Balotelli, for example, that when he was scoring, he was praised as, you know, the Italian best soccer player. And then when he couldn't score, or when he was behaving, you know, like a normal youngster that goes to the club and does some noise, he was no longer Italian. He was just a black man, or even the N-word was used to him, saying there is no such a thing as black Italian. You cannot be Italian if you're black. So we still have this problem that's even more emphasized by the Italian citizenship law that goes strictly by blood and therefore by race. Of course, it doesn't say black cannot become Italian, But it says that to be Italian, you have to prove to have Italian blood. And so, of course, it's more difficult for a black person to have Italian blood rather than a white person that maybe is mixed race like myself or things like that. So okay. The line is very thin.
I hear exactly what you're saying. Let me just bring in a new voice into our conversation. This is Marco Atonish, who spoke to us a few hours ago. Andrew, have a listen to Marco, and then I'd love your reaction to what he tells us.
Italy has a problem with race, I think. The term is never used in the public discourse, mainly because it was misused. It was used excessively during fascism. But if race does not exist in the public language, then also racism does not exist. So here lies the problem, I think, in the fact that in Italy, there has never been an open public conversation about the role of race in the formation of the Italian nation. So what to do? I think change in this case is a two-way process. On the one hand, I think it should be a movement of protest by ordinary citizens demanding justice and public equal rights for black people and migrants more broadly. And on the other hand, as a political reform which can deliver on these demands. But frankly, in the present political context, I don't see neither of them happening.
Yes, I believe these are some very valid points, to be honest. I think like the conversation about race and racism are not present at all. I think this also has to do with the fact that there are not enough voices of color, black voices in the. I mean, there are, of course. I mean, we can see, but they're not the voices that would be invited. There wouldn't be on the Italian television a panel with people like me, Angelica Quanza, or many others. These wouldn't be the people invited to talk about it. So it would be a wide conversation about racism, if there would be any. And I think this is a central part of the issue. Also because it has also a lot to do with the fact that diversity, black is seen as something necessarily new in Italy, while we have other communities, you have the Eritrean Italian community, Somali Italian communities that have been present in the country for decades. But obviously this also has a connection with Eastern colonialism, and this fundamentally feeds into the crimes of fascism and crime of Italian colonialism. That's something that is still not present and not discussed. So we have dark history coming, we're always on conversation, but yeah. There's the choice is just to brush everything under the carpet fundamentally.
We have to talk about politics and the political climate because we are just a month away before a snap election. We did a little bit of digging around to see what politicians were saying about Alika's death and also about immigration and migration. Have a look here. I picked out some thoughts and some tweets for you. Matteo Salvini is the leader of the far-right league. This is what he tweeted. Italians are the least racist people in the world. Someone on the left instead decided to exploit that poor man massacred. One thought there. Another. That's enough. We can't take it anymore. Cities out of control. Illegal immigrants who land every day and more violence in the streets. But for the left, the problem is the right. One more, because I feel like you know where I'm going to. It is time to reverse the course and restore dignity to Italy by defending its borders. This is all on the lead-up to an election that's happening in mid-September. Angelica, what does that tell us about the way politicians are thinking about people of colour, immigration, migrants who are in Italy right now?
Well, you know, it really confirms once more how our bodies are exploited by the political discourse. In 2018, when Lega, led by Matteo Salvini, Movimento 5 Stelle, won, and let's remember, for the first time in Europe, Italy had two populist parties in power. Well, Lega especially, they based their electoral campaign on anti-black, anti-immigrant, anti-refugees discourse. And the citizenship law, blood, what Angelo was mentioning earlier, has been strategically used, and it was a winning weapon. And so again, you see, there is always the condemnation of the act that poor man, without acknowledging, as we said, that he was black, that he was a refugee, that he was poor, that he was disabled. So all of this is brushed off to just not to talk about race. Right. And we can see how, yes, Giorgia Meloni, now we have a woman, so it's seen as something progressive. But what kind of ideas she has, what kind of party she represents, is a far-right party that is the direct heritage of the fascist party. So these are the people who are about, who have very many chances to lead our country, and is frankly worrying.
I want to bring in Maurizio.
Go ahead.
You go first. I'll go second.
It's always white people. The politicians in Italy are basically all white. 99% are white. And so they keep on self-absorbing themselves. They keep on talking about racism, but they're not the direct addressee of the problem. And so they're constantly absorbing themselves. Even the policeman was doing the same, because they all belong to the same system of white supremacy in the institution. And another big problem that also belongs to the left wing and not only to the right wing party, that is the central problem for me, is that migration is always treated and told as an emergency, whereas it's one of the most ancient phenomenon of human beings.
Yeah.
And it's always treated as an emergency.
The Romans were really, really good at migration. They migrated all over Europe and much of Europe as well. Okay, let me get back to adding one more voice to our conversation. This is Maurizio Talanti, who was really, really moved by what happened to Alikar just a few days ago. This is what he told us.
As a black queer man in Italy, I'm particularly devastated and impacted by the sudden violent death of Alikar. This is not just the latest of a series of murderous crimes against black people in Italy, but this is an episode that is showing that black people in Italy are not safe. In this country, black people are not safe, especially if the issue that is tackled is not just the one of race, but it's also the one of poverty or the one of disability. So I think that the next few months of campaigning are going to be fundamental for especially the progressive parties to promote an agenda that is also about the fact that black lives matters in this country and that we won't be falling under the Afrophobia promoted by the narrative of the far right.
Our audience watching on YouTube, thank you for your comments and your questions. I have a number of questions for you guests. They are instant answers, so one sentence answers, so we can get to as many as possible. This one from Napoleon. We need harsher punishment for racists. Kwanzaa, thoughts, immediate thoughts.
That's for sure. We don't have yet a law that states racism as a criminal offense itself. We only have the aggravating.
All right. Is there one that will happen in the next year or so? Is it imminent or still work to be done?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not even being discussed yet.
Oh, OK. All right. Another thought here. This is from Brad. What initiatives can be taken to make cultural assimilation easier on both sides? Angelica?
Well, I'm not sure I would talk about cultural assimilation, because assimilation is a very problematic word, I think. There is this idea that black people, people of color, are new in this country, is what Angela was saying earlier. And we are defined often second generation. Okay. So we're also fed up about this, because we are not second. We are third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation. So it's time to recognize that Italy is not a white country.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of mixing in this country.
I'm going to leave you with the voice of Charity Oriaki. She is the wife of Alikar. This is what she's hoping will happen with her husband's case.
I mean, I need justice for my husband. That is what I want. I need justice, because it's too much. The pain is too much.
Not revenge.
The pain is too much for me. I need justice.
When Francesca Mantella, who is Alikar's lawyer, got in touch with us earlier on today, this is what he told us. We are waiting for a psychiatric report. The killer, we don't believe, has a mental illness. The killing was deliberate. What we are looking for is justice, not revenge. Thank you, Angelica, Kwanzaa, Angelo, for shining light on how difficult it is for Italy to talk about racism. You proved the opposite right now on the stream. We thank you for your thoughts and for your participation. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.